From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
In 30 or 40 years, every vehicle on the road will be electric, right? Well, maybe, but there's a problem that needs to get solved first. Today on Parts Per Billion, we talk about why electrifying heavy-duty trucks could be really hard because their batteries just weigh so dang much. Hello, and welcome back once again to Parts Per Billion, the environmental podcast from Bloomberg Law. I'm your host, David Schultz. So today on the show, we're talking about trucks, heavy-duty trucks, and just to get this out of the way, here's a clip of a truck horn. Okay, I promise I will not play that again in this episode. Actually, no, I don't promise that. Anyway, as you could probably gauge from the sound clip I just played, trucks are really big and really heavy, but they could be getting heavier, much heavier in fact, if they have to go electric. That's because an electric battery that can power one of these trucks can weigh several tons just on its own. That's really bad news for the nation's roads and bridges, which are already in pretty bad shape, but it's even worse news for the many states that have ambitious laws requiring vehicles to go fully emissionless within the next few decades. Bloomberg Law's Emily C. Dooley just recently did a story on this. She's based out of California, which, no surprise, has one of the most aggressive vehicle emissions goals in the country. Emily actually went to an electric truck factory in her hometown of Sacramento, and you'll get to hear some clips of that in a bit. But first, she talks about exactly what states are requiring when it comes to vehicle emissions and how fast these requirements will kick in.
So yeah, California was the first to last year mandate certain sales goals for heavy and medium and heavy duty trucks. And the reason is the state has bad air quality. It needs to cut down on its emissions, and the transportation sector makes up like 41% of those emissions. One of California's goals is by 2045, they want all medium and heavy truck sales to be 100% zero emission. So you have to think, well, you know, that seems like it's a lot of time, but there's interim goals that start in 2024. So the thinking is if the trucks transition over to cleaner models that don't emit, that they will be able to make a dent in their emissions and meet federal air standards and also help communities that live near areas where these trucks are always driving. So it will help like local air quality as well.
Yeah, and actually, this wasn't in your story, but I was thinking about it as I was reading it, that not only does California have really bad air quality, it also has enormous ports. I mean, like some of the biggest in the country, if not the world. And I guess that has to play into it too, right? Just the size of the ports in the state.
Yeah, I mean, it has two of the biggest ports in the Western Hemisphere. That's Long Beach and Los Angeles. And if you think about it, that means that there are trucks coming in and out. And lots of times they're lines, so they're idling. And what's living beside those roads? People and businesses and schools. And so if you have these trucks that are idling, then they're putting emissions into the air. And lots of times the trucks that are used to transport goods, they're called drayage trucks, are bought secondhand. So they're older. They're not as clean. They've got some issues. And so being able to transition that fleet over is a big deal. And it's something the state has looked at. And in fact, the ports are also going to start assessing fees on trucks that go into the port that aren't zero emission.
Well, it's a great goal. And it makes a lot of sense. However, your story pointed out something that I had never thought of. But when I read the story, I was like, this is so obvious. Electric trucks have electric batteries, and electric batteries are really, really, really heavy. Will this disqualify California from meeting its goals, or is this something that can be worked around?
So I don't think it's a sky is falling situation. It's like a, hey, this is something we need to think about because it could become an unintended consequence of a solution to our climate problem, right? And so The state has set these goals. And part of the reason for them setting these sales goals was to kick the market into action, to say, hey, you're going to have a market. Let's have some models. Let's have some acceleration of the market so that we have more out there. And there's still not, you know, a lot on the road, but there are some models that have been released, and there are, you know, Amazon and Walmart and others have ordered some fleets, but those are years off, right? And so the technology is still advancing, but they're adding in these battery cells, which are really tightly compressed, you know, little, like, think of like AA batteries just jammed in these areas that are like powering the vehicles. And the heavier it is or the longer you want to go, that's sort of more energy that you need. And so it can add a lot of weight. And the estimate is for long haul trucks, which this is, you know, trucks that are going to go like 300 miles. In 2030, that could add like another 5,300 pounds to the weight of a truck.
So, I mean, we're talking about adding a couple tons to a truck here, and you were looking around for some data about what this could do to our roads and bridges, which, you know, will surprise no one, are not in good shape across the country. But you weren't really able to find that much data. That's a bit concerning.
Yeah, it's a bit up in the air. And in 2016, the Federal Highway Administration, there was a study that came out that they were looking at different scenarios about what it would mean for roads and bridges and pavement if instead of allowing 80,000 pounds of truck weight on the roads, it was like 129,000. They looked at a bunch of scenarios. And their conclusion was like, we don't really know and can't definitively say because the data is not great. There's just too many unknowns to definitively be able to decide what the impact will be. And so we can't really advise Congress on whether they should increase truck weights.
Yeah. So you actually went to a place where they are making electric trucks and you got to ride in one. Tell me what that was like.
So yeah, I actually, Daimler Trucks North America, they have three different models of zero emission trucks that that are on the road right now. They're kind of getting feedback and drivers are testing them and they're kind of figuring out what works and doesn't work. And they probably won't go into production until next year. But they were doing kind of like a road trip to show fleet owners and truck drivers kind of how the trucks were. And they happened to be in Sacramento. And I happen to be in Sacramento. Okay, so what's the first thing we do?
All right, so now your key is down there to the left. You can twist over to the right, one click.
They let me drive around a class 6 truck, which is sort of kind of like the school buses, right? I couldn't drive the giant like 18-wheeler. I'm not certified for that.
This has air brakes, so you're gonna, have you ever probably not driven one before? Or?
No.
They're a little touchy. It's okay. It's a little bit tough to get used to because
And keep in mind, for like most of the past decade, I've had a Mini Cooper, right? I only recently switched to a Nissan Rogue, right? And so now I'm used to small things.
So tell me, how many fatalities were there as a result of you driving this?
I hit nothing, and I even threaded between traffic on both sides when there was, you know, cars parked. So I think I did a pretty good job.
Sure. But one of the things you mentioned in your story is that it doesn't sound like a truck. It doesn't sound like the trucks that you're used to.
Yeah, in fact, when we turned it on, I didn't realize it was really on. I mean, there's like a beeping that happens, you know, that just sort of kind of indicates things, but it sounds very quiet.
All right, so it's on right now. It's all you have to do, that green light in the center means the high voltage is on and you can select a gear and drive and everything's good to go. So
the only time it got a little bit, you could hear some noise, was when we were kind of accelerating, but it sounds a little bit like a spaceship, like a zzzz, you know? And the blinker just seemed loud because everything else was really quiet, and it also doesn't have like the rumbling of a truck so much. So it was really interesting. I was surprised at how quiet they were.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? and where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
Well, getting back to the battery issue, though, it sounds like, based on the people that you've talked to, not just the truck makers, but also the regulators, it sounds like the solution is just, hey, battery technology has come so far in the last 20 years, they're getting lighter and more reliable and can hold a better charge. I'm sure they'll keep getting better and lighter. And so problem solved. Is that a fair characterization? Is it kind of just wishful thinking here that batteries will just keep getting lighter and lighter?
Yeah, I mean, most people say, look, it's still kind of a nascent market, right? There's a lot of space to grow. So the smaller trucks won't the batteries for smaller trucks won't weigh as much. And as technology improves, that's when we'll move into like the longer hauls, right? So we have a lot of room to grow and we're not there yet. And so the problem will not be a problem by the time reality is there, right? You know, Daimler said one of their latest battery models or weights was half of what the previous one had been. And so there has been a lot of advancements. And Lion Technology has like 150 engineers and people looking just at how to make the batteries weigh less. So there's a lot of work going into it.
Yeah. All right, and then finally, let me run a scenario by you. You know, we talked earlier about how there's a weight limit for the roads of 80,000 pounds, roughly. And, you know, we're talking about maybe raising that to accommodate these new electric vehicles if the batteries don't come down in weight. What if, you know, the federal transportation regulators decide, no, 80,000 has to be it. Our roads can't handle anything more. If anything, it needs to go down. That seems like it would put electric vehicles at a real disadvantage because they wouldn't be able to haul as much stuff to stay under that 80,000 pound threshold. Is that something that you've heard from people?
I haven't necessarily heard that, but I did hear a lot of people talk about in these trucks, it would be possible that you would run out of space before you ran out of your weight allowance, right? Because especially when you're hauling goods, so that maybe it wouldn't be as big of a deal. And some fleets or haulers may decide to, you know, have two trucks going instead of one, right? And I don't know how much the expense will come in if you have the feds and you have California, plus there's 15 other states that are setting goals. There's a lot of momentum there, right? So it may not, it may be cheaper in theory because you'll get an extra pounds, but I don't know what that means in terms of if you lose out on credits or if you have to pay more in terms of your permit or, you know, things like that.
That makes sense. Okay, that was Emily Dooley speaking to us from Sacramento, California. Emily, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks. I wish I had a truck horn to beep at you.
we'll put that in post. We'll put that in post. All right, that's the last air horn, I promise. And that's it for today's episode of Parts Per Billion. If you want more environmental news, check us out on Twitter. We use a pretty easy to remember handle. It's @environment, just that. @environment, nothing else. I'm @DavidBSchultz if you want to blow your air horn at me on any topic in particular. Today's episode of Parts Per Billion was produced by myself, David Schultz. We had special help today from Greg Henderson and Chuck McCutcheon. Parts Per Billion was created by Jessica Coombs and Rachel Daigle, and our executive producer is Josh Block. Thanks everyone for listening. See you again in 2 weeks.
This is Adam Allington, and I'm here to announce a new season of Uncommon Law, a narrative podcast series from Bloomberg Law.
Black Lives Matter!
My co-hosts and I will speak with African-American attorneys and hear their perspectives on how big law is, or in some cases isn't, adapting to become more diverse and inclusive.
It's not fair, but what can be better than being on the front lines of helping to make this country better for all of us? If not us, who? If not now, when?
Just search for Uncommon Law wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.